disappointments, and I'm sure, like many of you here, I was extremely disappointed last weekend. Thankfully, though, the God we believe in is a very generous God, and a God who gives us strength to endure those disappointments. And we all need God's gift of strength. And if you don't think you need the strength of God, you haven't been Christmas shopping lately. And more seriously, if you don't think you need the strength of God, you haven't felt some disappointment at the cancellation of Come Celebrate or anything else in your life. Or you've forgotten how lonely Christmas can be for some people. I was listening on the radio to quite disturbing news, really, at the rise of domestic violence over the holiday period. And the worst day, in fact, is New Year's Day. For some of you, it's been a really tough period, and you know you need every ounce of strength from God just to keep going. Now, if you'd like to follow my sermon, there's an outline on the back of Contact for you. And there are two things that we need to know about God right at the outset. First, we need to remember that God is in fact powerful. He's strong. God can do whatever he likes, make the heavens and the earth, bring rain or not bring rain, raise the dead, still the storms, heal the sick. God is omnipotent. He is powerful. And secondly, we need to remember that God is an empowering God. He shares his power with his people. He gives us strength. We don't believe in a puny God, nor do we believe in a selfish God. He's a God who delights in helping us. He is strong, and he is able to give us his strength. Now, in Psalm 29, David says God is powerful like a thunderstorm. It's a metaphor that runs through the psalm. And his voice and his power are thunderous. So you have verses like verse 4 where it says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic." Or verse 7, "The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning." Verse 8, "The voice of the Lord shakes the desert." Psalm 29 is a psalm that encourages us to join with all the angels in heaven to give praise and glory to this powerful God. We are asked by David to join in with all the mighty ones in praising God. And this God, David comes to the conclusion, is the Lord, the King who sits, verse 10, enthroned over the flood, enthroned as King forever. David's picture of God is of a powerful, majestic, sovereign God who sits over and above the whole of creation. And he calls us as human beings to acknowledge that strength and power of God and join with the heavenly hosts who see that power more obviously than we do and ascribe glory and strength and honor to that God. Now, wouldn't it be good if we could tap into some of that power, some of that strength? And the last verse of the psalm is actually very surprising because it's here that David says that we can do that. Verse 11, David says, "The Lord gives strength to all his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." The Lord gives strength to his people. So what David is trying to do is say, God is strong and majestic and powerful. The Lord of all the universe, the one who made it, the one who sounds as impressive as a thunderstorm crashing on the mountains of Lebanon, who can rip up the trees that are there, who can flood the desert. That Lord gives strength to people. That's what David is trying to tell us. Now, don't you need that strength? Don't you want that peace? I know I do, and I've certainly needed it this past week, and I'm sure you need it as well. I think there are three areas of life where we need God's strength to help us. Firstly, we need God's strength to get us through what we can't get through on our own. Life hits us with all sorts of pain and trouble. A month or so ago, we had our Thanksgiving services here, both morning and evening. And I heard different people talk about their experiences of chronic fatigue, of depression, of family breakdowns and bereavement. Not long ago, I talked to a man on the phone who told me his wife had just asked for a divorce. Last Sunday, many of us stood with the Mulheron family at the funeral of their 23-year-old son, Ben. All of us face situations when we don't know what to say or what to do. It's at moments like that that we need God's strength. That's one area. Secondly, we need God's strength to avoid doing what we know we shouldn't do. Temptation beckons us every day, doesn't it? There was a bumper sticker that said, "Lead me not into temptation. I'm perfectly capable of finding it on my own." A lot of time we know what we shouldn't do, but we succumb. And then we get disheartened and disappointed with ourselves, particularly if it's a repeated pattern. We don't seem to have the power or the strength to resist. And it's then that we need help from God to stop doing what we know we shouldn't. The third area is the opposite of that. We need God's strength to do what we know we should do. The Bible has lots of instruction, lots of command, lots of guidance on the type of people we're supposed to be. In the morning service about 5 or 6 weeks ago, we read a little bit of Romans 12, only four verses. And in those first four verses of Romans 12, it tells me that I am to do the following. This is the type of person I am to be. I'm to be devoted to others in brotherly love. I'm to honour others above myself. I'm to keep up my fervour and zeal in serving the Lord. I'm to be joyful in hope. I'm to be patient in affliction. I am to be faithful in prayer. I'm to share with God's people. And I'm to practice hospitality. And that's only in four verses. Now, where do I get the strength to be that sort of person? Well, only God can help me, and I'm a minister. It's hard sometimes doing the things God wants you to do. Psalm 29 says, "The Lord gives strength to his people." The Lord gives. It's a gift. It's something that comes from God. God's strength is there for me when I am in any of those three situations, when I'm in a mess because of the pain of life, when I am tempted and I want to not give in, when I am trying to be godly and be the sort of person God wants me to be. And so the question I think you might rightly ask then is, well, how can I do that? How can I experience God's strength? What practical things can I do to be stronger and allow God to strengthen me? I want to suggest four things to do, practical things. And if you've got a pen, you might want to write them down in this, the spaces on the back of contact. Firstly, we need to affirm God's power. Affirm God's power. When we're feeling weak, it's good to remember that we serve and believe in an omnipotent God. And we're back at the start of today's sermon, back at the bulk of Psalm 29, affirming and holding on to the fact that God is in fact strong. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done." When you read your Bible, you are reminded that God is in fact strong, that he's able to effect change. He's able to do things. It's a good reason to keep reading your Bible. And you need to remember this and believe it. Remember how God empowered Moses, that weakling. Remember how he gave Joshua courage, how he strengthened David when he was on the run, how he emboldened Peter who wanted to give up on him, and how he supported Paul who had persecuted him. Remember God's track record with his people. And that same God who helped those heroes of the faith in the past is there to help you today. That's what the big history of the Bible tells you. It's the same God who helped them can be as present and real in your life as he was in any of theirs. So affirm God's power. It's getting your theology right, not believing in a reduced or a sort of anemic God. Now, the second area or second way you can do this to experience God's strength is ask others for help. One of the reasons God gives us a church to belong to is that we can help others through life. The Christian community, when it works, is a living, breathing organism that cares for one another, and through that caring has strength to reach out and care for lots of other people. You are allowed to ask for help. You don't have to struggle along on your own. I was reminded of this at our Thanksgiving Sunday services again, when people stood and commented and thanked God for their small groups and said, I was facing this trial and I was so aware my small group was praying for me, and were very grateful for the support and the prayer of their groups. It could be that you receive the strengthening of God through brothers and sisters in Christ here who visit you or send cards or send emails. I've been really, really upheld myself in this past 2 weeks by the number of people who've emailed me and told me they were praying for me. People at St. Alfred's pray for one another after services at small group via an email prayer chain that we have, and in many other situations. We've had some special times of prayer here at services seeking God's healing for one another. And those have been lovely times of experiencing God's Holy Spirit and ministering to one another and supporting one another, encouraging one another, and asking for God's strength and healing. Our whole approach to pastoral care, which we call peace, is there to ensure that you keep out an eye on each other and look after one another, and that they look out for you. There is strength when the body of Christ looks after one another. Sometimes you're not sure if you can go through another day. Sometimes you're not sure what to say in a particular situation. Sometimes things are so bad you don't know which way is up. And it's then at that moment when someone phones, someone sends a card, someone drops round, or you come to church on a Sunday and someone prays something or I say something, and you get that little bit of wisdom that you need just to keep going. That's when the body of Christ can support one another. One dad here, I remember, said how tired he was after work each Monday night, but when he went to his men's Bible study group, he always felt encouraged and built up. So ask for help, and as we pray and care for each other, God gives us strength to keep going. Now, the third way you can experience God's strength is to ask God for the strength you need. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. There may be times when you're on your own or you're in a situation and there is just no chance for anybody to help you. You haven't had time to ask your group for prayer support. You're just in the situation. And you say that little arrow prayer of Nehemiah and ask God for his divine help. When you're standing in the hospital and you don't know what to say, you can ask God for help. When you're facing another temptation and you know you don't want to succumb and there's no one watching, you can ask God for help. When you are trying to develop patience because you think that's good for your character and you're tempted to be impatient, you can ask God for help. Ask him to supernaturally give you the strength that you need. Sometimes I've done that and I can feel something. You know how we've been going around praying for people in their homes and blessing them. I was in one home not so long ago where there's been a history of illness in the house, and I was asked to pray about that. And I asked God quietly and silently to give me some words to pray because I didn't quite know what to pray. And as I started to pray then in this home, I felt God's strength come into me and my prayers got stronger as I went on. There are times when I don't feel good about speaking in church. I feel what I have to say is not right, or it's not good enough, or it's not appropriate or something. And I feel tired and I feel like I'm wasting my time and everyone else's. And that's when I say, God, I need your help. I just don't feel up to this. I felt that very keenly on Cup Day when I spoke here on Lamentations 3. And the atmosphere during the service was a bit like today. It was a bit sort of festive. And I thought, gee, my message is so heavy. This is not going to work well, why am I doing this? And yet, since I gave that message, I've received so much feedback that it can only be God. It can only be God that used me in that moment. So ask God to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit to give you the strength to do what you have to do. Now, some of you will be sitting there thinking, that's all well and good, Peter, but there are still times when, even though I believe I affirm God's strength, there are still times when I know my Christian brothers and sisters are praying for me. There are still times when I've asked God myself that I just don't feel any extra strength. What do I do then when I feel my tank is absolutely on empty? Well, what you do is the fourth step, and this may be the most important step of all, and that is you just act out of obedience to God. Even when we don't feel the strength of God, when we keep heading in the direction that God wants us to walk, he will give us the strength to keep going, but it may not come until you're absolutely in the moment. The perfect example of this is Jesus himself. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't feel particularly strong. He asked his Father to take this cup away from him, the suffering that he was about to endure. And yet, no sooner had he said that prayer than he was able to say, but not my will, yours be done. And having had that time of quietness, he then went down the road that he knew he had to go, which led to a shocking death. There will be times when you don't feel very strong, and yet you know that God wants you to go down a certain road, and that's when you need to exercise your will. It's not common to talk about this today, but you have a will. You can choose what to do. And that's when you need to exercise your will and say, I am going to do it God's way. I know what he wants me to do. I feel absolutely weak, but I know I've got to go this direction, or I've got to say this, or I've got to do that. And I'm going to trust God to give me the strength as I need it. Now, I'd like to introduce one of our members here this morning, whose name is Chris Palmer. Chris is someone who's has had a lot of need of God's strength to keep going. And she would like to tell you just a little story from her own life to exemplify what I've been talking about a little this morning. Let's welcome Chris.
Chris Palmer, sometimes known as Andy's mum or Rob's wife. I just want to share with you this morning about praying big. Now, I know there are times when we can't pray big, times when we can only just whisper or call out for help. But this is a little excerpt from this year. I'm happy to say we've had a good year. In March this year, we arrived back in Melbourne after a two-week trip to the UK to find that while Andy had survived very well, our son-in-law David had been admitted to hospital after another serious MS attack, this time affecting his spine and preventing him from sitting up. Our daughter Rachel, David's wife, moved back home with us, and the following Sunday, St. Elf's had a healing service where David Sharrock shared his story about his wife Lynn and their baby daughter's miracle healing. God used this story to challenge me not to accept the negative prognosis for Dave, but to pray and anoint him with oil. 2 days later, while reading my Bible, the notes talked about a poor peasant man who approached Alexander the Great and asked him for a farm, a dowry for his daughter, and an education for his son. The court was shocked at the audacity of this poor man, but Alexander the Great granted all his requests and said, I get weary of people asking me for a gold coin. This man treated me like a king and asked big. God again challenged me to pray big for Dave and other members of my family who were in need. Also, a week later, a friend, Joyce Vine, I don't know whether she's here today, was in Coorong Bookshop and saw a book called Pray Big. and she bought it for me and I read it. Another confirmation from God to keep on keeping on. After a family consult with the medical staff at the hospital a week later, we were told that Dave would have to be admitted to a nursing home. We challenged the staff and asked if Dave could have some rehabilitation. They reluctantly agreed and he was transferred to the Angus Hospital a few days later. God was working. When I next dropped in on Dave, Rob Carter, our former pastor of St. Elves, was visiting Dave, and I was also introduced to a male nurse who was a Christian and was caring and praying for Dave. David Sharrock also visited Dave and was praying for him. Dave was in rehab for 4 weeks and he started to respond to treatment and eventually was able to sit up. He also had a change of attitude to exercise and decided to join a gym when he got out of the hospital. A carer was arranged to work with him 2 days a week if Rach could get him there and I would take him on the third day. Dave is continuing to improve and we are thankful and continue to pray big for him. He isn't out of the woods yet and Rach still finds it hard as Dave has to be hoisted in and out of the car, but at least he's home. Please keep them in your prayers. We have seen other answers to prayer this year, with Rob being healed of a chronic back problem at the second healing service. And Andy has been making wonderful progress with many answers to prayer for his health, resulting in our recent holiday in Tasmania, as Rob and Andy shared at the Thanksgiving service. I work at Sunrise Family Ministry Centre in Baldwin with Joyce Vine on Thursdays, and I have been privileged to see God bring hope and healing to those in need. Pray big. God longs to bless us and answer our prayers. And also I just wanted to thank you, for so many of you who have prayed for us for many years. And also there is a warning. You could be on your knees day and night. Thank you.
Chris told me when we went through this on Thursday that this would be the first time speaking in church. Is that right? Is this your first time, do you think? Second time. So thank you. Let me finish. More than likely, there is an area of your life where you will need God's strength. I've given you 4 steps you can take, and if you don't need this today, then I suggest you will need it sometime soon. And if you don't need it for yourself today, I suggest there'll be someone in your life who might need it. So just remember what we've said. Go home and read Psalm 29 again, and particularly hold on to that last verse. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Thank you.